In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter, it seems, is always noticing the water beneath his feet. His eyes grow heavy and he ceases to pray. He waits in denial for the cock to crow. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is the same. For in St. Luke's Gospel, we are clearly told what Moses and Elijah were discussing with the Lord. It was the exodus of the Messiah, his departure from this world, his glorious crucifixion. That is what heaven is interested in. It doesn't make the angels weep, it makes them sing. They love it. The saints, too. They revel in it, for the shameful death of Jesus is their glory. It is the fulfillment of all that Moses and Elijah prophesied. It is the desire of nations, the hope of Israel, the light of the world made good. But Peter, with his standard pig awkwardness, misses the point. The words of Jesus have not yet broken his heart of its attachment to finer things. He does not yet see the hidden things of God in the lowly and despised things of the world. He does not yet embrace the agony of God as perfect mercy. He does not yet understand the nature of the kingdom his Master and Messiah has come to establish. For he does not yet know that the only way to get to the Mount of Transfiguration is through the Mount called Calvary. He does not yet realize that in Christ's kingdom, suffering must precede glory. And so, in typical Peter fashion, he offers an earthly suggestion to a heavenly reality. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He misses the point. He wants the glory without the suffering. That pig awkwardness of Peter is no stranger to us. It is a stubbornness born of pride that wants its own way, that refuses to sacrifice. It is the demise of marriages, the dissolution of friendships, and the root of war. It refuses to believe that parents should be honored, that spouses should be loved, or that our neighbors should be protected above ourselves. It wants lofty, soaring, emotional highs, platitudes and easy answers, fancy music and feel-good ceremonies, rules to live by and improve, anything and everything but a cross, anything and everything but suffering, death, and blood. Repent. The flesh is weak. We have all succumbed to the vanity of our hearts and wanted fame, honor, and glory with men. According to the flesh, we have all been scandalized by God's word. We have all been guilty of missing the point, like Peter. That is why we care more about what's going to happen on our favorite TV shows than we do about what's happening in our church or in the Christian church at large. That is why it is easier and more desirable for us to move mountains and rearrange schedules to attend events and activities that appeal to our need for being entertained than it is for us to do so, to attend church and Bible study and other opportunities for fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters. Like Peter, we are more focused on the earthly than the heavenly. We sinners often completely and totally miss the point. Repent. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration in Moses and Elijah is a lesson for Peter and for us. Moses had run away from God and from his people. He had committed murder and was afraid for his own skin. But God nonetheless restored him. He made him his own ambassador to lead the people safely out of slavery to freedom, through the drowning, crushing waters of the Red Sea to dry ground, through death to life. later in the wilderness, his anger would overcome him again, and because of it, he would not be allowed to enter the promised land. A whole generation had to die in the desert, and Moses along with them. The people had to be cleansed, purged of a perverse generation corrupted in Egypt. Slavery had to die. The law had to be left on the other side of the Jordan. But Moses did enter, through death by grace, the real promised land. He came to Abraham's inheritance, the land of milk and honey that Canaan only foreshadowed. He died to being enslaved. He died to being a second-class citizen, an adopted son of questionable birth. He died to being angry, afraid, and tired. He awoke in heaven, free even of himself, adopted into the household of the Trinity as a true brother of Christ. He lived his life of sorrow by faith in suffering, with hardship and uncertainty. But in the end, he came to face reward. In his weakness, he learned to know that there is no other place to turn, that God was his only hope. And knowing that, in weakness he was strong, and in death he now lives. Likewise, Elijah. He also ran and hid. He had called fire down from heaven and had defeated 400 false prophets of Baal. The only way it was okay to pray with them in Jezebel's civic ceremony was if they were mocked and slain. But then, after the wrath of God was revealed upon them, Elijah was afraid. He ran from weak Jezebel, lest she should do to him what he had done through to them. Full of self-pity, wallowing in self-righteous arrogance, he was certain that he was the only one left, the only one who would not hold hands with Baal's prophets and call them brother. But God had mercy even on Elijah. He too was restored. He was fed by ravens, renewed in his strength and zeal, and finally delivered even from bodily death, so that he ascended by a chariot into heaven. He too lived this life of sorrows, of disappointments and frustrations in a small, struggling church. He lived by faith. He had his doubts, his worries, but now he and his faith are perfect. For what his faith could not do, God did. And by the grace of God and the Messiah, he too has come to face reward. And so too did Peter follow. By the grace of God, he too was restored, even after denying the Lord three times. He learned the lesson of the transfiguration, that suffering must precede glory, and in the end, he stretched out his arms and died, for he would not stand by and smile nicely as incense was offered to Caesar. He was moved by the Holy Spirit and boldly proclaimed the Word of God. He no longer missed the point, but went about preaching the only thing that matters. Jesus died for the sins of the world and has made full atonement for all men. He rose again and gladly calls men brother. There is no other salvation, and he is coming back. And for this gospel, this invitation to heaven, they killed him. But in that malicious act, they did more to honor him than they could ever know. For the things of God are hidden from human eyes. Weakness is strength, foolishness is wisdom, death is life, and martyrdom is the single highest honor. By killing St. Peter, they sent him to face reward, and he now dwells with Moses and Elijah and all the saints in the glory of heaven, and joins his voice to the conversation of heaven, reveling in the Lord's exodus which brought him there. And so it is, dear friends in Christ, that there is hope for us too. Yes, we are wretched sinners, one and all. But so were Moses, Elijah, and Peter. And look what God has done for them. It is no less for us. We have His sure and certain promise that He will bring us through the wilderness and into the promised land of heaven. Here in His holy house, where heaven and earth come together, even as they did on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord fulfills His promise, even though the divine liturgy sets us up as fools. After all, we adore bread and wine, water, and a book. We kneel before a nerdy man dressed like a clownish woman. We sit like little children and have stories read to us, and we sing old-fashioned hymns together. We truly are fools in the eyes of the world, for the world scoffs at all this pomp and circumstance. But faith rejoices in it. For faith confesses what the eyes cannot see, that Jesus is here, that He is here for His people with healing, with acceptance, with peace. He is not transfigured here. His glory does not shine as it did that day, but He is here hidden in the externals. He is here in His Word and sacraments. Those who believe His Word submit to things they cannot understand. For who can understand how Jesus Himself speaks through the mouth of sinful men? And who can understand how Jesus gives us His very body and blood in, with, and under simple bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist? Even God-given faith cannot understand, but it does believe. That is the true theology of the cross. You believe and behave according to the promises of God and not by what your eyes behold. You are saints, whether the world recognizes it or not, for you are baptized and have the name of God upon you. You have been called out of darkness and into His glorious light, for you have been given ears to listen to your Lord who cried out from the cross, "It is finished." And because Christ fully accomplished your salvation, you know that you too will receive your faith's reward when the Lord calls you home from this veil of tears. Then you too shall be transfigured like your Lord to live in His glory forever and ever. And so, with St. Peter, you proclaim, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here. For here in your house you strengthen and preserve my faith. Here you continue to visit me with your divine gifts. Here you give me food, real food, to strengthen me for the treacherous journey which lies ahead. Here, my dear friends in Christ, here in our Lord's holy house, we fulfill the Father's command to listen to Him. For here He proclaims His word to us in a powerful way, bestowing upon and within us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Listen to Him. Your sins are no more, He says. I have paid for them all. You who trust in me are forgiven and free. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.